Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming out on a rather chilly day. It's bad when it's so cold that the front doors won't work, but that's where it is right now today. Glad you're here. We're going to continue in this series we've been going through where we're working our way through the Gospel of John. If you got your Bibles, please grab it. Turn to John chapter 6. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one in a chair close to you. Grab that, please. Everybody needs a Bible open. Or at least one that you can share with somebody else. John chapter 6, we're going to be reading here from verse 16. Passage goes through verse 24. We're going to stop at verse 21. Pew Bible, page 865. When you got the passage, look up and smile. There you go. Here we go. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. Last week, Patrick led us through the beginning of John 6 and the miracle we all know as the feeding of the 5,000. We talked about Jesus purposely stretching the disciples' faith, about a few loaves and a couple of fish and happy meals and 12 baskets of leftovers and a people who looked at Jesus with something close to greed in their eyes while thinking of all that he could do for them. He heals the sick, he raises the dead, he makes his own food. With him as our king, who could stop us? We'd never have any need or want. But Jesus wasn't willing to follow the agenda of others, whether that personal agenda belonged to his own disciples or to the agenda of the crowds. As Patrick put it last week, they thought that they could have God on their own terms. But they were mistaken. So that leads us to the first question of the day. What are you going to do when Jesus doesn't meet your expectations? In your worship folders, there's a sermon outline sheet, a half sheet there. Would you pull that out? Very first question today, I'm going to phrase it like this. Am I still going to follow Jesus if he leads where I don't want to go? Or if he does what I don't want to do? Now, this is one of those times where it's absolutely necessary to read the other gospel accounts of the same event because, man, we miss a whole lot if we don't do that. Like, I think you miss the fact that the disciples were mad at Jesus when they took out in the boat. Because, you see, everything was coming together like they wanted, at least from the disciples' perspective. And, well, it seems like Jesus blew it. I mean, he had all of those people like that. You know, when he fed them all, they were in his hands. John 6:15 says that even Jesus realized that the people wanted to grab him and declare him king right there and then. But what does Jesus do? Matthew 14, verse 22 and following. Immediately, I mean, we got all this momentum, right? Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. That we could translate that he compelled them. He forced them. This is not their decision. Jesus makes them get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. We just got them all together. He dismissed the crowd, and after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. You see, the disciples, they had certain expectations for Jesus, and in their eyes, he's letting them down. Both Matthew and Mark agree that Jesus had to make, he compelled his disciples to get in the boat and take out. What they have in mind, what they want is like a share in the kingdom. And from their perspective, on their brightest day, shuttles the disciples off on their own, and then dismisses the crowd that wants to make him king. What's up with that? Why would you do that? Well, let's flip the question a little bit. Have you ever had God not live up to your expectations? Seriously, ever feel like God has let you down? Have you ever had one of those, you know, what's going on, God, type prayers? What do you do then? I think the disciples got ticked off. I think they were grumbling. I think there were some unhappy campers in the boat. And I think Mark agrees with me, because he's the one who in Mark 6:52 throws in this little tidbit that they had not understood about the loaves. They missed the big story behind a story. They failed to reckon to who he really is. They had not understood about the loaves. And then here's this line, and their hearts were hardened. What are you going to do when Jesus leads where you don't want to go or does what you don't want to do? Well, the disciples, they got in a boat and rowed. They weren't happy about it, but they obeyed. I mean, the storm's out that way. You can see it. We're headed right into it. The crowd's back there. That's where we'd like to be. And Jesus is up on a mountain somewhere, but they obeyed. Question. How many of you are still rowing? I mean, even after things haven't gone right, or at least the way that you figured they should have gone, how many are still doing what God told you to do? Even when it doesn't make any sense to you, are you still rowing? Are you still obeying? The Bible's full of examples like this. You got Abraham. Abraham, get up and go, even though you don't know where you're going. Noah, I need you to build a big boat, even though you're surrounded by dry land all over the place. Joshua, no, don't attack Jericho. Just walk around it. And do it every day for the next 6 days, you know? Jesus walks up to you while you're still working, and he says, you know, leave all this behind. Just leave your life behind and come follow me. A great definition for faith is simply taking God at his word. He says, go, and you go. He says, follow, and you follow. He says, row, and you row, even when you don't want to. That's faith. It may not be this, you know, real strong faith, but it is faith and it is necessary. So I'm gonna ask you again. Are you still rowing? Are you still following him? Are you still obeying simply because he said to? Or is it possible that you've started to do your own thing because it's more to your liking? If you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to have to step out in faith. Number two on your sermon outline, the second choice, caught your second step of faith. Am I still going to trust Jesus even in the middle of my greatest problems? Because he often doesn't do things the way that we would want, you know. So it's one thing to just, you know, pass out some bread and some fish to some hungry people on a nice dry day and even get to be a part of the blessing. But it's another thing entirely to trust him when you're threatened. Are you going to trust him even then? It's a real question the disciples had to face, and it's a question that each and every one of you're going to have to face it sooner or later. Those disciples weren't doing anything other than obeying Jesus when they rode smack dab right in the middle of the biggest storm you ever saw. And catch this, Jesus watched it happen. Mark chapter 6, verse 47 and following. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. Verse 48. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Get the picture right, okay? These guys are out there. They're out there. They're hurting. Have you ever rowed a boat? I'm not talking about a sleek little fiberglass kayak, you know. I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about a small aluminum John boat that just skims across the top. This isn't like that. This is a pretty good size heavy fishing boat. Have you ever rowed a boat against the wind in a storm for hours? 1 hour would be tough. 2 hours and you're exhausted. Surely Jesus will do something. I mean, these same men had seen Jesus still a storm before in this very same lake. They just woke him up, and with a word, he sat up and said, "Peace, be still." No storm. Surely he's going to do something. 3 hours. 4 hours. The winds rage. The boat's bringing on water. Midnight comes. There's no answer from God. You know, it can feel awful alone out in the middle of a storm. Matthew 14, verse 24. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. 1 a.m., 2 a.m., still no help. Max Lucado writes, Peter, Andrew, James, and John have seen storms like this. They're fishermen. The sea's their life. They know the havoc the gale-force winds can wreak. They've seen the splintered hulls float the shore. They've attended the funerals. They know better than anyone else that this night could be their last. Why doesn't he help? Finally, he does. Matthew 14, verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. The older NIV has it, during the fourth watch of the night. We're talking somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Now, I want you to look at that, though, all right? Between verse 24, which happens somewhere around midnight, so, and hours of being buffeted by the waves, to shortly before dawn in verse 25 when Jesus appeared. In between those two verses, in that time frame, I bet there's 1,000 questions that are being asked. Questions you probably asked before, too. Do you know what it's like to being stuck between verse 24 and verse 25? Being in the middle of a storm that's crashing all around you, and you know that Jesus is aware of what you're going through. You know he's aware of your storm, but as hard as you look for him, you can't see. Makes for a long night. Person can lose hope in a storm like that. Question. Have you lost hope? Serious question. Has your storm raged for so long that you're not even looking for Jesus anymore? It happens. Or, let's change it a little bit. If he were to come to you now, how would you respond? Would you trust him? Would you, even now, would you choose to step out in faith? Peter did. Man, this guy gets a bad rap sometimes, doesn't he? But he steps right out in faith. He's in the middle of the storm. He's scared, right along with everybody else. But when Jesus identifies himself, Peter wants to be with him. I mean, it's just that simple. Peter's faith was one where he said, I recognize, Jesus, that you are the one. And because you're the one, I want to be where you're at. If it means getting out of this boat, so be it. I'm here, you're there, so I'm vacating. Let's not pretend like the boat was this great big safe place anyway, because they thought they were going to die just previously. But because you're there and I'm here, I want to be where you're at. I'm going where you are. Now that's faith, folks. Question, again, serious question. Don't you think that that kind of faith would please Jesus? Seems like it. Then why in the world do we always read the Matthew account like Jesus was mad at Peter, or at least, you know, kind of disgusted with him? You know what I mean? Matthew 14, beginning with verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Literally, I am. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? We hear it through these ears. Oh, Peter, Peter, you of little faith. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Why did you doubt? Isn't that about how we always imagine it? Let me give you an alternative, one that I think matches up well with the events and the character of our Lord himself. Would you watch the screen, please?
When evening came, he was there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from land. Buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified.
It's a ghost!
They said, and cried out in fear. Immediately said to them,
take courage, it is I! Don't be afraid!
Lord! If it is you!
Peter replied,
tell me to come to you on the water! Help!
He said, Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him.
Oh, you have little faith,
he said.
Why did you doubt?
They climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying,
you are the Son of God.
Now, I don't know if that's how that went down, but there's a part of me that says, isn't it great to see Jesus laugh? To see Jesus take joy in the fact that Peter stepped out in faith rather than brood on how he fell short. Folks, some of you need to step out in your faith right now, and you're afraid because you're afraid you're going to fall. I tell you what, let's do this. You step out in faith, and Jesus is going to catch you, all right? Because that's just the way he is. Some of you need to step out in faith, and you're afraid to, because the storm that you're facing, well, it's flat out scary. In fact, it's so big, it's got you stuck right where you are, and you're afraid to take the risk of moving. Could be several different things. Some of you are so engulfed in financial problems. And you know what God says about tithing and trusting him and all that stuff. But you're barely making it as it is without giving 10% away. Hey, folks, is he God or not? Can you trust him or not? Some of you are having some relational problems that are about to sink your whole life. Come, you know what I mean. It's gotten so bad that you don't even want to come home after work anymore. You don't see any hope. Where there once was love is now, it's not too much to say, it's like a sea of bitterness. And in the middle of this, God spells out this kind of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Man, it sounded really good on your wedding day, but it kind of only sounds like a pipe dream today. Is he God or not? Can you trust him or not? Some of you have a secret. You are involved or have been involved in something that would be a nightmare if it ever came out. And this God, he wants you to come clean. Be holy, for I am holy. Can you trust him or not? Is he God or not? It really comes down to that. Got a picture up on the screen. Anybody recognize who that is? Let me tell you, it's not Winston Churchill. It's not Alfred Hitchcock. Anybody know who that is? W.C. Fields, that's right. W.C. Fields, he's kind of like this crass comedian from yesteryear. I've read where Fields, who made a living mocking God and his word, was caught reading the Bible by his nurse as he was nearing his death. And she railed him. She asked him why he was reading it now after all that he said and did. And reportedly, he gave a small smile and said, I'm looking for a loophole. No, folks, he's either God or not. No loopholes, no alternatives. Paul David Tripp writes concerning this scene that we've been spending some time in. He says, Jesus has sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. They've encountered an impossible headwind and angry seas. If you look at the time clues in the larger passage, you can see that they've been rowing for about 8 hours. They are in a situation that seems impossible, exhausting, frustrating, and potentially dangerous. They are far beyond their strength and ability. As you read the passage, you have to ask yourself why Jesus would ever want his disciples in this kind of difficulty. It's clear that they're not in this mess because they've been disobedient, arrogant, or unwise, but because they obeyed Jesus. Jesus sees that his disciples are in this exhausting and dangerous situation, and he sets out and begins to walk across the sea. Yeah, you read that right. He walks across the sea. Now, the moment that he begins to take this walk, you are confronted with two things. The first is the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the Lord God Almighty, because no other human being can do what he's doing. But there's a second important thing to observe. The minute he begins to take the walk, you know what he has in mind. If all Jesus wants to do is relieve the difficulty, he wouldn't have had to take the walk. All he would need to do is to say a prayer from the shore, and the wind would cease. He takes the walk because he's not after the difficulty. He's after the men in the middle of the difficulty. He's working to change everything they think about themselves and about their lives. Standing next to the boat as the wind still blows and the waves still crash, he says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." He's actually taking one of the names of God. He is saying the I Am is with them. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one on whom all of the covenant promises rest. It is impossible for them to be alone because their existence has been invaded by the grace and glory of the I Am. Why did Jesus send his disciples into that storm? He did it for the same reason he sometimes sends you into the storms. Because he knows that sometimes you need the storm in order to be able to see the glory. He did it because he knows that sometimes you need to see the storm in order for you to see the glory. Am I still going to trust Jesus even in the midst of my greatest problems? Man, I hope you answer yes. Because in that choice, you may find your greatest blessing of all, this closer walk or a better understanding, a real glimpse of the glory of God, the great I Am who has chosen both to come to you and to love you. Don't miss him in the middle of it. There were some third and fourth graders at the Wheaton, Illinois Christian Grammar School who were asked to complete the following sentence. By faith, I know that God is. Now, we're supposed to sometimes approach him with the faith of a child, so thought it was appropriate. We also needed to lighten it up a little bit. By faith, I know that God is. Amanda says, I know that he's forgiving because he forgave in the Bible and he forgave me when I went in the road on my bike without one of my parents. You know, it's just simple as that. Brandon says, by faith, I know that God is providing full. Sometimes God's so big, we've got to make up words, you know. Because he dropped manna for Moses and the people, and he gave my dad a job. Paul says, caring, because he made the blind man see, and he made me catch a very fast line drive that would have hurt me. He probably sent an angel down. Jeremy said, merciful, because my brother's been nice to me for a whole year. Miracles never end. Anonymous said, faithful, because the school bill came, and my mom didn't know how they were going to pay it. 2 minutes later, my dad called, and he just got a bonus check. My mom was in tears. Hannah says, by faith, I know that God is sweet because he gave me a dog. Notice she didn't say cat. She said dog, okay? And then she says, God tells me not to do things that are bad. I love her last line. I need someone. We all need someone like that. Someone who is all that and so much more. We need someone like that. Even if he leads you where you don't want to go, or he does what you don't want to do, even in the midst of your greatest problems, you can trust him. So why don't you? Why don't you make that choice right now? A couple weeks ago, I talked about the need for us to respond when God holds out something for us that we can see, you know? I talked about the danger of continuing to hear God and then choosing to put him off for a time or not respond. And what I heard back from some is that it's not that we're not willing or it's that I don't have faith. It's, I'm not sure what to do next. What's my next step? Well, today is one of those days when I bet everyone here can identify their next step, because every one of us is facing something that is bigger than we are. I don't have to name a bunch of scenarios because you already know what it is. Just like the disciples on that night in John 6, man, you've been rowing, you've been trying for a long time, but in spite of all your best efforts, you're not getting anywhere. The situation isn't changing. You know you need help. What you need is more than just recognizing that Jesus is available. You need to ask him to get in a boat with you and let him take command. Let him lead in this, in your personal walk with him. To let him lead in your relationship with another. To let him lead in this situation that's beyond your control. You know what it is. And you need his help in a new way. Because he's the only one who has this authority and power and grace to make a difference. John, when we go through his gospel, John keeps on holding up Jesus, even to those who are already believers. He keeps on holding up Jesus because he wants us to see him in a new way. He wants us to be able to respond to him in a new light, to trust him with new understanding, because Jesus is not like any other. Your next step is reaching out to Jesus, either for the first time or just as if it is the first time, simply because of who and what he is and your need of him. You can identify the storm. You know the trouble. Now you need to turn to the glory, the great I am of the story, Jesus himself. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to start off with a song. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. We're going to start with a song, and it's got the refrain of an old hymn that we know, Trust and Obey, okay? And then it's going to turn into this newer song that we've been learning about, Give Me Faith. It's an invitation, folks. It's an invitation. I'm going to ask our prayer partners if they would, if they'd come on front. They're going to be here. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And if you have something that you would like somebody to pray with you for, if you have, you know, you've got this thing, whatever this thing is, and you know that you need to make steps and come forward and to another one, share what that is and that your determination, you're going to obey, you're going to follow through. Or, I don't know what my next step is. God, please make that known. But I'm going to step out because I'm going to choose to trust him. Pray with me, please.